Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for April 14th, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti will be at Cal State Northridge this afternoon for his State of the City address. Joining us from the scene is reporter Christian Brown. Hi, Christian.
How are you doing, Maya?
I'm great. How are you? So what's the energy like on campus today?
Well, it's a pretty busy scene here. We've got people showing up in droves. We've got a heavy police presence here as people prepare to listen to the mayor talk about his agenda for his first term.
Okay, so you say there's heavy police presence. Are there oppositional protests going on?
You know, it was really expected, and I thought it might overshadow his speech. There are some ongoing labor negotiations between a lot of city and union leaders going on at this time. But as far as I can tell, no, I don't see any protests right now.
Okay, so do you have any insight as to what some of Mayor Garcetti's talking points might be?
Sure. Really, it's going to be him talking up achievements of his first term, his first 2 years specifically in office, and he's going to be addressing some unfinished business. Having this speech in Cal State Northridge really sending a message. He's sending a message about earthquakes. We all remember about over 20 years ago, Cal State Northridge was the scene for the Northridge earthquake. And so he really will be talking about his plans to make buildings more seismically fit, as well as the water supply. We know we're going through a drought right now, and we expect Mayor Garcetti to double down on his message that Angelenos need to save more water.
Okay, and have you had the opportunity to speak with students on campus or students coming out in large crowds to hear what he has to say?
I have not yet, but there is many students here, many of them dressed top to bottom, ready to see what the mayor has to say. This is really his one opportunity where he really gets to sum up his agenda in one sitting. So I expect that they're really excited that he chose their campus to speak today.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You can hear more from Christian's coverage tonight at 6 p.m. on ATVN. The Metropolitan Water District of Southern California voted today to ration water supplies in the region by 15%. Andrew Tweedy reports.
Officials say the 26 cities and agencies under the MWD will have to pay a fine if they fail to cut water by the required 15%. However, some cities have already met their water reduction goals. This includes Long Beach, which has taken an uncommon approach to the issue. Kevin Wattier is the general manager of the Long Beach Water Department.
Our approach to water conservation, it's 100% driven by human behavior change, and that all comes through an effective public education program.
Long Beach uses what they call smart meters to track down residents who waste a lot of water.
We restrict how many days a week you can water your grass and how long you can water your grass. We prohibit things like hosing down your sidewalk. And then what we do to people who violate those is we fine them.
MWD officials say in addition to limiting water supplies, they'll move ahead with various efforts to bring conservation to people's attention and ensure restrictions are effective. Andrew Tweedy, Annenberg Radio News.
The California Public Utilities Commission met today to discuss a plan to merge Comcast and Time Warner Cable. Simon Makowicki reports that opponents are weary about uniting the two largest cable providers in the U.S.
If approved, Comcast will serve 80% of California's cable users. TV writer Sean Ryan fears this merger will give the cable provider too much power.
What do we expect from this consolidation? Higher prices, fewer choices, and less content. Because mergers that increase the power of content gatekeepers do not serve the interests of consumers or creators.
Those in support of the merger, like Maria Hernandez from the California Latino Institute, point to Comcast's work with non-traditional TV programming as a sign that a monopoly will not limit content.
Comcast has demonstrated a true commitment to invest their community, financial, and staff resources into the non-traditional organization.
The merger is being reviewed by both the FCC and the U.S. Department of Judgment. It will be voted on by the California Public Utilities Commission on May 21st. Simon Makowicki, Annenberg Radio News.
Adult education students are protesting LAUSD's decision to stop its program for adults. The program provides classes for older citizens interested in learning about subjects such as technology, finances, and health and fitness. Protesters Linda Sinden and Ricky Efron expressed their dissatisfaction with the school board's decision.
They're calling us the drooling people who walk with walkers.
The seniors are always being swept under the rug. They say that seniors can't learn. We can't learn without things like this. And we can learn.
We reached out to LAUSD and did not receive a comment. Field trips are usually reserved for students, but today it was parents and teachers who boarded the bus. As Ben Everett reports, they wanted to call attention to problems within LA Unified School District.
We are the teachers!
We are the teachers!
We are the parents!
We are the parents!
Parents and educators are on a bus ride in Los Angeles, making stops at three different LAUSD schools to see the problems that have not yet been addressed by the district. UTLA put on this bus tour as part of their Escalating Actions movement, which is meant to pressure LAUSD to improve conditions for students and educators. The issues emphasized were staffing, class sizes, and school safety. At one stop in North Hollywood High, freshman John Huddleston joined the rally.
There's no space. These classes are too small, you know. This is a very old school, and it's a big issue.
The tour, which started at 6:30 this morning, will end with a stop at the LAUSD board meeting in downtown Los Angeles. UTLA President Alex Caputo-Pearl will then address the board about school conditions. Ben Ebert, Annenberg Radio News.
The mountain lion, who was found in the crawl space of a Los Feliz home, has fled back to the Hollywood Hills. The owner of the home, Jason Arcanaco, says he thinks it's normal for a wild animal to roam.
He's natural to the neighborhood. When you live a street away from the park, you just have to expect that animals are going to come and go.
Janice Mackey from the California Department of Wildlife agrees there is no need to worry.
He just coexisting here and eating deer is not a public safety threat at all. The lion did not act aggressive in any way last night.
A Griffith Park ranger told NBC4 the cat has grown since last year and he was probably looking for a mate. Thousands of Los Angeles County home care providers rallied in downtown LA this morning to demand higher wages. Emily Zakor has the story.
Home care workers provide live-in assistance to seniors and people with disabilities, but studies show that 80% of California's home care workers are living in poverty, and more than one-third of them rely on public assistance for survival. Melissa Uribe from We Care LA, the campaign that sponsored the rally, believes a wage increase is necessary.
Things are getting more expensive, our economy is flourishing, but these home care workers are being left behind.
Right now, workers earn less than $10 per hour. They're asking for at least $15 per hour because many say that they cannot survive on their current paychecks. Home care worker wages in LA are determined by both the state and county budgets. In the past, county supervisors have expressed concern about raising wages. They argue that salary increases for one group of workers could burn a hole in the budget and result in the reduction of other services. Emily May Zakor, Annenberg Radio News.
R&B singer Percy Sledge died today of liver cancer. His record label broke the news this morning. The soulful ballad, When a Man Loves a Woman, was his first recording for Atlantic Records.
When a man loves a woman.
It went gold in 1966 and has remained an emblem of heartbreak and undying affection. Sledge was 74 years old. If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Taylor Haney with today's Root Source.
Gaffes, flubs, broadcast errata. Bloopers are mistakes made during a live broadcast. The funniest ones get put into blooper reels. Here's one unlucky reporter. Or they might end up in movie credits. But the word blooper comes from wartime. Censors used blue pencils to scrub sensitive words from documents. So someone with a blue pencil was known as a blue person. Blue person. Made blooper. A type of blooper is called corpsing.
Although there is a bright side.
That's when someone gets the giggles.
We stop laughing, it's distracting. Now that we know he doesn't have...
People used to call them boners, as in boneheaded. So the word blooper is actually a big improvement.
When you grow up queer and transgender in a conservative Sri Lankan community, sometimes you laugh not to cry. That's the story of LA-based performer D'Lo. His one-man show, Defunct, is based on his life's coming-out moments. Taylor Haney spoke with D'Lo about using humor to survive ignorance.
For queer people, especially queer people of color and trans people of color, sometimes our comedy is the only thing that shows us that we have graduated from whatever painful memory or painful experience we've gone through. My name is D'Lo, and I am an artist, particularly in performance stand-up theater.
Basically, I had queer dar back then, but Barbara
So this show right now that's playing is called Defunct, spelled D apostrophe F-U-N, big Q, big T. The Q and the T is around the queer and trans label.
Like, even though I hadn't come out and said that I was a full-fledged queer, you could smell it off of me. I had a Dyke to Do number 4. And I wore my hip-hop baggies. Basically, for all the white people, I looked like a darker ethnic version of a softball dyke. For everybody else, I looked like T-Boz with Chili's hair.
The story chronicles my life as a queer person using three major coming out stories as its pillar. Coming out, meaning like coming out to my family, namely my parents. And I grew up in a strict immigrant Sri Lankan Tamil community, so the stories are bizarre and fun. I remember when I first came out to my parents, I didn't really intend on doing it. My father gave me a call to try and arrange my marriage to a cisgender male.
You have to college, you have to get married.
And so I...
I'm gonna go. Okay. No, what's the problem? Huh? There are two doctors in North Carolina. But no, really, I'm good. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm gonna... No, what? You have a boyfriend? No, Papa, I don't have a boyfriend. Then what's the bloody problem? They are brothers. You can pick which one you want. But no, really, I'm totally good. What, do you have a girlfriend? Well. What happened was, what are you trying to tell me? That you're gay? You're not gay. Are you gay? I think you're
there's lots of drama, and it was hard. But you know, you sit there with your friends and you talk about it, and pretty soon you're laughing about it with your friends, and then you realize like, okay, you're not the one who's without. You're not the one who's broken. You're not the one who is having a hard time with life. Like, you know, this is just a testament to show how folks like us survive these moments.
Fine. But my father, you know, he was trying to be supportive in his, you know, immigrant way.
You understand the comedy in the situation through the absurdity of how people respond to your queerness.
So, D'Lo, I heard Liza's your girlfriend, huh? Yeah, but I just wanted to know, is she of the same proclivity? Oh, are you asking if she's queer? That's what I'm asking. Yes, Appa, she's queer. Ah, good, then I approve.
I will definitely stop and just say that I am grateful. I'm grateful for this run. I mean, like, how many times does a solo artist get their shows produced, and a queer and trans artist at that? I'm just hoping that the more queer and trans shows and films and all of this stuff will just provide me with more opportunities to showcase my talent and to be a representative for the trans and queer community.
And you know, Craigslist, they have like...
That interview was produced by Taylor Haney. Defunct runs through May 5th at the Los Angeles LGBT Center in Hollywood. That's it for today. We had help today from Kevin McAllister, Kim Loeffler, and Savannah Ajar. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Holly Thompson is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Taylor Haney. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.